Hello, this is Dr. J. Davidson from drjdavidson.com. I'm excited to welcome you to this very special interview of the Detox Project. Today, my guest is Dr. Jared Bergman, and we're going to talk about EMFs and their potentially toxic effects that they can have on the body. But before we do, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Jared. After receiving a disheartening medical diagnosis for their seven-month-old son and finding out that traditional medical treatments were making him worse, Dr. Jared Bergman and his wife, Dr. Ida, uncovered a vital and fail-proof method to not only repair and rejuvenate the body from its cellular core, but to advance the human potential as a whole. Professionally, Dr. Jared holds a bachelor's in human biology and a doctorate in chiropractic medicine. He is a certified strength and conditioning specialist, certified chiropractic sports physician, certified speed, quickness, and agility trainer, a design clinical nutrition counselor, and a quantum neural reset practitioner. Dr. Jared has held various lectures at the collegiate level and has handled cases of professional athletes in conjunction with designing training programs to enhance performance and mental acuity. This work has led him to pursue years of study in nutritional neural linking and resetting, epigenetic DNA enhancement, and EMFs. His international collaboration on the Hedron EMF devices is becoming the industry standard in harmonizing the body for optimal health and vitality, resulting in human accelerated performance. Dr. Jared, I want to welcome you to the Detox Project.
Thank you, Jay. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I am excited to hear from you because I have to say, you know, being you're the founder of the Hedron EMF devices, and I have a bias that I have one on the back of my cell phone. I've had for, I'm trying to remember how long, maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years by now. And so I really want to pick your brain on this whole topic of EMFs and really even hear how you got into it even more. But I guess if we can start, you know, kind of somewhere basic, maybe just explain to the listeners of the Detox Project, what is an EMF and why could this even be a problem for us?
Okay, so electromagnetic frequencies, EMF, there's natural and then there's man-made. So natural would be, an example would be the sun. Man-made would, well, obviously all of our man-made devices. Now there's two parts to this. There's the non-ionizing and the ionizing. The ionizing being, an example would be X-ray. And then the non-ionizing would have two parts to it. Is the thermal part, that's what we know is bad, that heating up, that radiation, that cooking your cells, basically. And then that non-thermal part, and that's the big debate, is that non-thermal part and what it does to your cells. So how that could be a potential problem, well, we're looking at that non-thermal aspect of the electromagnetic frequency and how that interfaces with our cells. So we have to remember that the cells, they're semi-crystalline in matrix, and how they communicate a lot through light or photonic energy, and they also communicate a lot through vibration or resonation. So when you introduce a chaotic signal via the electromagnetic frequency coming in, that's everywhere, we live in it 24/7, that signal actually causes a discommunication or a chaos, a friction that doesn't allow the cell to express what it needs to express to other cells of the body or to other organ systems.
So back up for a second. What's EMF even stand for?
Electromagnetic frequencies.
Electromagnetic frequencies. So you basically said there's two types. There's natural and then there's the man-made. Mm-hmm. And then in the man-made, there's ionizing, which is more like X-ray radiation type things.
Right.
And then there's non-ionizing. And then there's two subparts within the non-ionizing. So there's thermal and non-thermal?
Yes.
So is it well accepted then that when you're looking in the man-made EMF category, that ionizing is damaging to the cells, non-ionizing, specifically the thermal part, is damaging then too?
Yes.
And then you said the non-thermal is really where the disagreement or still up for debate necessarily is happening. Right.
Exactly. And the reason it's up for debate, I'm not sure why it's up for debate, because it truly does affect the cells of the body, and they have determined this through the earlier studies even, and now they're determining it even more so with the advent of the 3G into 4G, and now they're coming out with the 6G in parts of, I believe it's California.
Yeah, the 6G has been approved in California, actually. Yeah. So as far as like, I was just going to ask, can you give me an example then of a man-made, non-ionizing, non-thermal EMF? So a cell phone tower would basically be a non-thermal?
Yes, a cell phone tower. You're looking at smart meters, too, that are put on homes now. And then, of course, the cell phone itself has both components to it, the thermal and the non-thermal.
Oh, the cell phone has both. Okay, the thermal and non-thermal. What about Wi-Fi? What category is that in?
The Wi-Fi does have both as well.
Wi-Fi is thermal and non-thermal.
Thermal and non-thermal, yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. So, I mean, when you look at the status, and you work with, obviously, clients, your wife does as well, too. You're in the health world, you know, work with tough cases. I mean, when you look at somebody that maybe is struggling with reaching their health goals and their diet seems to be great, they're following a regimen of maybe some natural, good quality supplements, they're moving the body, maybe they've even done detoxification, even done it well, but still are struggling. I mean, when you see somebody with a case like that, is one of the first things you think of EMFs, or where does your brain as a clinician go to?
Well, that's one of the first things that we tend to forget, just as people in general, that we're electric beings first and foremost. And that is, something that I would look at very much. So in fact, my intake forms at our clinic, they want to know how you sleep, where you sleep, all of these different aspects as it relates to the electromagnetics in a person's life. Because what happens is when this chaotic signal is introduced to the cell, it can affect that semicrystalline matrix that's in the lipid bilayer of the cell, and also makes up a big portion of our DNA, and how that expresses, and how that expresses through how the nutrients come in the cell and how the toxins leave the cell. So that permeation is a big deal to pay attention to, especially when you're looking at somebody who's doing all these right things and they're not making headway. And all of these little electrical charges, these pluses and negatives, and the sodium potassium pumps and the cell energy, how the Krebs cycle works, all of that is based off of electricity and how well that runs and how well that can be working in a harmonious state. Otherwise, with the chaotic signal coming in, it works in a disorganized state, and that's where a lot of the problems come in, and the synergy is basically pushed out of the balance of the body.
So when you were talking about the semi-crystalline matrix of the lipid bilayer, so if I was to try to better understand that, so basically our bodies are, and it depends on the research and who you're estimating, but, somewhere between maybe 30 to 100 trillion cells that our bodies are, and then the debate is, are we going to include bacterial cells with that or not, of course, too, but so we're basically cellular beings. We're made of cells. And the outside wall of the cell is what's referred to as a lipid bilayer. It just means it's a double layer of fat. And that's, from a clinical standpoint, obviously I've found that to be just a huge piece. Because you said it's basically, and quote me if I'm wrong, you said that it's the gateway for nutrition to come into the cell, and it's the gateway for toxins to leave the cell, correct?
Right.
Okay. So if I look at a double layer of fat as kind of the wall of all the cells, what do you mean by a semi-crystalline matrix? Is that what's in between the fat layers?
Yeah, so it's the component that's in between the fat layers, and then it helps make up the bonds in between the fat layer and the bonds in between the DNA matrix as well.
Meaning inside the nucleus?
Inside the nucleus of the cell, yes.
Okay. So if I'm hearing this properly, then EMFs, whether they're ionizing, thermal, or non-thermal, they can disrupt the semicrystalline matrix, which if they disrupt that, then you're disrupting the bond that basically holds the wall of the cell together properly.
Exactly. And then that affects how the cell can express itself via how it gets information through photonic light or photonic energy or through the vibratory aspect.
So can you explain a little bit more when you said that we're basically, as human beings, we're electric beings? So I know you kind of talked about like sodium, potassium, or Krebs. Can you, Krebs cycle, I believe. Can you kind of dive into that just a little bit more?
So we have all of these vitamins and minerals at a specific balance in the body, helping our body stay in balance as a whole. But when the chaotic signal that we get from let's say a cell phone, for instance, is introduced, that causes an unbalanced situation and the communication between the cells is broken down.
So in other words, these EMFs can disrupt something as basic from a cell level as a sodium potassium pump.
Exactly.
And then the Krebs cycle as well too.
Yes.
So it not only disrupts nutrition from the body, as you said, sodium's, you know, and potassium, you know, the difference of charges, but it can literally disrupt us from a cellular being then, in other words.
Exactly.
How come this isn't talked about more? What's your personal thought on that?
It has a lot to do with industry and how that could potentially affect the bottom line. That is a big concern of people. And then also, how is this going to be accurately measured? That's another big issue with this.
So follow the money, in other words, is reason one.
Yeah, that would be the biggest reason, yeah.
I think that's one thing. And the second thing you said is, how is it really measured? I mean, EMFs are something that you really can't see. And there's some people, like I've had clients that are very, you know, in a super sick, sensitive state and they can feel. But I would say the majority of Americans, just personally, my personal opinion, I'd say the majority of Americans aren't going to necessarily feel the EMFs. What's your thought on that? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, most definitely. We don't feel it, but at a subclinical level, we're all definitely being affected by it. And that's where we need to enhance our tools of measurement to be able to determine how far along or how far we are being affected by it. But even with the studies that we've done today, there is significant proof that tells us that our bodies are affected by the current EMF status.
In the studies that are coming out, is that American studies, other places around the world, both? I mean, who's really kind of leading the charge as far as studying the EMF world?
India is really leading by a lot right now. India.
Really?
Yeah, they put in many different guidelines as far as limiting their EMF exposure. The Netherlands is another place that's actually up to the top of the list. China is not far behind. But there are many areas in Europe now that are increasing their awareness, putting limits on the amount of EMF that their people are being exposed to. Canada has also come a long way. The only place that really doesn't have guidelines on EMF exposure is right here in the United States.
I was just going to ask, where does the USA fit in this? So in other words, we basically just haven't created any laws or regulations for it. Do you feel like as a country just kind of ignoring it?
Yeah, at this point in the game, yeah, definitely ignoring it because there are so many countries that are acknowledging it. The World Health Organization acknowledges it as or acknowledges at least part of it, and that's the electromagnetic radiation as a class B carcinogen. But the CDC did a little backpedal as well. They acknowledged it, but then they kind of backed off, saying that it's inconclusive at this point. But when you see all these other European countries jumping on the bandwagon to limit the amount of EMF exposure to all of the people in their country, it makes you question how inconclusive are all of those other studies.
Yeah, and you wonder how much, you know, follow the money plays a role with America, why these maybe organizations have backed off of it too.
Right.
So diving into, you know, EMFs, I think we can accept the fact that there's EMFs basically everywhere. I feel like there's hot, you know, Wi-Fi hot spot zones everywhere. I mean, where do we even begin going about to try to reduce our exposure from these things that you can't even see?
Well, the biggest things is, yeah, definitely exposure, the concentration and duration that we have to these EMFs. And then also the distance, how far away are you from these EMFs? So keeping your distance from devices, that's one thing that can be done. Putting it in airplane mode, that's another thing that can be done when you're not using it. Keeping it, if you have cargo pants, at least keeping it in that pocket that's lower down so it's away from reproductive organs, at least somewhat. Putting it in a backpack. The bedroom is a big issue for people. Clearing out the bedroom completely is a big deal. Trying to keep your device at least 4 feet away from you, put it in airplane mode when you're sleeping, because it can disrupt the melatonin levels in the pineal gland. And also keeping the room completely dark, because the light is a form of electromagnetic radiation as well. Putting or getting a blue blocker screen if you have to look at a device at night is very important. Turning off your Wi-Fi at night if you put it on like a master switch of some kind, so that you can, when you're not using it, turning it off while you sleep. Because at night, as you well know, the autonomic nervous system, the parasympathetic part of the autonomic nervous system, needs to kick in so that we can heal properly. If that part of the nervous system isn't kicking in because of a signal of some kind, like this electromagnetic chaotic signal that we get introduced to, we're not going to be healing like we should at night. Disabling Bluetooth when you're not using it, so it's not kept on the whole time. Also, when you're in a car, that's another perfect place where it concentrates the electromagnetic frequency, because you're in like a partial cage. So that can concentrate that frequency in a car. And then again, if your car has Wi-Fi, that's another added concentration of this non-beneficial frequency.
Would you ever buy a car that's all electric, like a Tesla, or a car that has Wi-Fi in it personally?
No, I wouldn't actually.
I wanted to ask you that because I see in the area I'm in, I see so many Teslas driving around, you know, all electric. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have to put a bunch of Hedron units in that if I was going to ride in that thing. But I just wondered about the Wi-Fi too in a car. It would seem like that would get amplified just to such an extreme amount, you know, such a close quarter.
It definitely does. There's such a large bleed off, especially in the electric cars. But even the heat that comes from a Wi-Fi unit behind the dashboard in one of those cars is very measurable with the thermography cameras.
So you mentioned keeping your device at least 4 feet away and on airplane mode. So in other words, you know, your iPhone or your phone that we all carry around that we're never a part of. So if a iPhone or a cell phone is on airplane mode, is it really giving off any EMFs?
It's giving off the form of the radiation, the heat. It's still giving that off. When you're not bouncing signals off of the phone, that's the biggest thing.
Okay.
When you have it in the airplane mode, some of these cell phones today are so advanced that they can bounce a signal from your phone to your neighbor's phone, so to speak. And that can amplify that frequency and cause a bigger hit to you.
Interesting. What happens when you charge your phone and it's by you? Does that change the EMFs given off?
Actually, that amplifies the EMFs as well, because when you're charging the phone, there's a certain amount of bleed off just through the electrical pathway going into the phone. So you never want to be on a device that's plugged in, because that, again, is amplifying the EMF.
So in other words, airplane mode, if you're going to have your phone in your bedroom, never charge it in your bedroom by your head and have it at least 4 feet away. That's kind of the basics for the phone at night.
Yeah, that's a big one. And then if you have kids, teenagers especially, if they have a device, you definitely want to make sure that they are not sleeping with the device.
Okay.
And then also women, they like to put a device in their bra, and that's not a good idea.
Bad spot for it.
Right.
And as you said too, keep away from reproductive organs. And you mentioned turning the Wi-Fi off at night. I had a colleague, she shared with me, because she actually had a niece that died of a brain tumor that they linked back from dirty electricity and EMFs in their house. And by the time that they found it, it was too late and she passed on. And basically that whole family now is, you know, completely, you know, on board and looking to educate, you know, on EMFs. And she, you know, informed me. And one of the things she mentioned is get one of those like Christmas light timers, or, you know, one of those like timers that shuts the cord on or off, like you would do even like with a fish tank, and plug it into your Wi-Fi. And so I've got that set at my house every night at 10:30 p.m. just in case I stay up a little bit later. I'm usually in bed by 9:30 trying to sleep by then. But 10:30 p.m. the Wi-Fi shuts off, the router, and then at 5:45, because I do wake up a little early to get going, it'll turn back on. So do you think that's a good solution for that, or what's your opinion on the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, that's an excellent solution for the Wi-Fi. I know that some, like my house, for instance, I have a switch tied into the wall that the Wi-Fi can be plugged into, and I just throw the switch and it's turned off just before I go to bed. That's another good way to regulate the use of the Wi-Fi.
Okay. And would you say at night's one of the more, like, it is the most crucial time because your body's in the most repair healing mode too?
Yes. Your body's producing the melatonin, and that becomes affected by the Wi-Fi because of the piezoelectric reaction in the pineal gland. Because of the crystals in the pineal gland, yes, that's being affected from that signal from the whatever Wi-Fi. It could be the smart meter that may be on a person's house, and it could be their cell phone. But definitely the most crucial time is at night.
So the EMFs then will actually disrupt the pineal gland, which is what's producing melatonin. So from a chemical standpoint, the EMFs can actually alter the chemicals in the body to basically weaken our sleep or have a harder time to fall asleep and stay asleep.
Exactly. Wow. One of the top reasons why people come in with EMF disturbances is insomnia.
Oh, so if you're a bad sleeper, think EMFs almost immediately.
Definitely want to think EMFs.
Okay. Well, switching gears a little bit, I just love those tips. I think they're so practical. And I like how you said, don't get rid of your phone or Wi-Fi, because it's like, I feel like so much of our lives and what we do is focused on technology and, you know, utilizing those. And I want to get into the things that you've even created as to, you know, kind of a piece to what I feel like a piece of the puzzle EMF is. But talk about geopathic stress and even the geopathic zones as well too, because I've heard that referenced as far as EMFs before.
Yeah, geopathic zones can cause the geopathic stress. So that's an effect on the body. Now, there's another natural source of electromagnetic frequencies that come from the ground, produced by the electrokinetics of the water passing through the ground in conjunction with the mineral flow through the water. It creates a localized electric and magnetic field. And that can have an effect on the body as well. This has been studied for somewhere around 90 years, and some people even say it goes even back 1,000 years on how this was being looked at and how it was determining where these ancient type villages would build their homes. Because if you build your home over one of these geopathic zones, this could be a detriment to a person's health. And what the studies have shown in the 1930s, it is. And even more recently, there's a Dr. Hacker, and he is big into studying these geopathic zones and geopathic stresses and how they affect our bodies. And Dr. Gustav von Pohl was one of the doctors that actually discovered these geographic zones. And his works have been rewritten in the 1970s. So it's a very big field.
So in other words, these geopathic zones are just, they're present around the Earth and something that basically the Earth naturally will form areas of these then?
Yeah, it's basically based off of water flow through the Earth.
Okay.
And it basically creates a battery underneath the Earth, a localized battery. And that puts off an electromagnetic signal, which can disrupt our body.
How do you know if you're in a geopathic zone?
Okay, so yeah, there are a few different things to pay attention to. Is if you go away from home and you feel better, that's one big way to know.
Okay.
That's a potential. And then also if you feel worse when you wake up in the morning, that's another big one. The biggest part of discovering these geopathic zones is in a person's bedroom, because where these geopathic zones will affect you the most is where you spend most of your time.
So is this geopathic zone, is this referenced? I've heard if a cat likes to sleep in a certain area, they're sleeping in a geopathic zone. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes, yeah. The animals or pets will give away the position of the geopathic zone as well. So cats will be attracted to something that's non-beneficial to us. Dogs will be attracted to an area that's beneficial to us.
Interesting. So if basically sleep where a dog would sleep in your house, but don't sleep where a cat will sleep.
Really? Yeah, that's basically what you're looking at. And then also kids in cribs. When you lay a child down in a crib and then in the morning they're all sideways or in a completely different position, that is also kind of a determinant as well, or not a determinant, but a sign that there could be a geopathic zone underneath that crib or in that room, because the children are so much more in touch with their bodies than adults are.
Interesting. I just find it so interesting, the geopathic zone. So, could it be even if you have a little bit bigger bedroom, just moving your bed to the different side of the bedroom? Are these zones pretty huge?
No, the zones are actually pretty small. They're about anywhere from 6 inches to 2 feet.
Okay.
And if you suspect that you're in a zone, yeah, you definitely want to move your bed at least 2 feet in one or the other direction. Sometimes you can take out a compass, and if the geopathic zone is around that larger side, around the 2 feet side, the compass of the needle will waver. It won't point towards true north because it puts off that much of a field. And some people have used dowsing, and I know Dr. Von Pohl had a device that he used. It was like a tension gauge, which had a magnetic needle on a tightened cable. And if you passed that over one of these zones, the tension in the cable would loosen, which would move the needle. And it would be a good determinant for him, because he would drill down into the earth from what he found on that tension gauge, and he would hit water.
Oh, literally using what he found as like determining where water was then.
Right. Yeah.
But he was basically looking for geopathic zones.
Yeah.
And then being in a geopathic zone, which you don't want to be in, especially sleep, then will cause geopathic stress to the body.
Exactly. And it's most detrimental where these lines cross.
Okay. Where they cross. Is that, if you don't mind, I mean, how did you even get into this area or line of work? I know in your bio you mentioned when your son was 7 months old. Do you mind diving into that a little bit and just how you personally got into this world?
Sure. Yeah. Basically, for quite a few years, I was treating athletes, dealing with athletes, being an athlete myself. My wife's an athlete. And giving people the nutrition and helping them detoxify, helping them with their exercise regimens, helping them determine which supplements they needed to take. But there was always some sort of a component there that was missing. And that's when we started to dive in deeper to that electrical aspect of the body to enhance performance. And then we noticed in our son that his health was struggling, and specifically respiratory issues were coming up, and we couldn't put our finger on what was going on. He had perfect nutrition. We were doing all the right things, and come to find out, EMF was big with causing respiratory dysfunction as well. And we then later found out that not far from us, a cell phone tower was being put up. So what we did is we took a more of a drastic approach, and we moved away from that area, and his health started to increase as far as improve, I should say.
Wow. Just from basically being away from the cell phone tower.
Just from being away from the cell phone tower. Now, was that the only thing that it could have been? I'm not saying that at all, but that was the only thing that we really could put our fingers on, and we really made a change in.
What's your professional opinion about cell phone tower and distance? What's a good distance to be away from them?
Yeah, good distance to be away from them. So, which is harder and harder these days.
Yeah, because they keep getting built.
Yeah. They're definitely all over the place. If you can be over 3 miles, that would be excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
And talk to me. So I've got my iPhone sitting right in front of me. You know, we're doing this interview. I have my MacBook. I mean, I feel like I have technology all over the place. But I've got this Hedron device on the back of my phone, which is from basically your company. And the thing that really intrigued me about it was there was actually research showing that it didn't allow the brain to basically heat up as much. And I'm saying this very in layman's terms, and I want you to dive into it more. But describe the company that you have now, Hedron Life Source, and you sell these EMF basically, I would just say they're chips, but you probably would say they're like harmonizers. Can you just kind of switch gears a little bit into the tools that you've developed?
Sure. Yeah, the cell phone harmonizer, then there's the body harmonizer, and then we also have a home harmonizer. Now, these three devices have a specific blend of 12 minerals and crystals in them. And minerals and crystals, they hold their own frequency. And we also have a scalar energy that is impregnated in along with a Schumann's resonance that's impregnated in to each device. Now, what that will do is the scalar energy will actually put it into more of like a zero-point wave where it harmonizes the chaotic signal that the EMF puts off. When you have a chaotic signal, you have all of these wavelengths running into each other, and they cause friction, essentially. And that friction, if you could translate that into noise, that would be enough to drive you mad. But what the scalar energy is it helps zero that out. It doesn't cancel out the frequency, however, that it emits, but it does zero out, meaning it does cause it to be more harmonizing to the body and to the cells.
So the scalar kind of reduces the friction that the EMFs cause within each other?
Right. So if you could take a look at when a cell phone call is coming through to, let's say, your phone, that is such a chaotic signal that it causes a resonation that is so irritating to the cell that it's enough to drive a cell into distress.
And is it just when the phone is ringing, or is it when you're actually on the phone as well? Is it changed from when, like, the phone, you know, when it's searching for the phone to ring it versus when you're actually on the phone?
Yeah, when you're on the entire phone call.
Okay, so basically as soon as it starts ringing through your whole phone call, that's when the EMF friction chaos is basically at its most.
Right.
And so you've got scalar. So basically these, what I would consider like the, you said the cell phone harmonizer, it's like this little, I don't know, 1 inch by 1 inch and really thin. You just put it basically like on your cell phone or your cell phone case. You have a home harmonizer, and then you also have a body harmonizer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the home one is a big disc, and I recently just got that because I'm like, you know, if the cell phone thing is as legit as it as research is showing, I can only imagine the home one helping out. Can you describe the home one then?
Yeah, the home one is it has the added benefit of shungite, a specific mineral that has fullerenes in it, and these fullerenes are the best way to describe it is like a antioxidant for a person's biofield. It actually can help strengthen the hydrogen covalent bonds in a person's body, especially in the DNA. So with the home harmonizer, placement is also important with that one. It still has everything that the cell phone harmonizer has in it, but it does have that added shungite in it along with the 12 specific minerals and crystals. But placement, putting the home harmonizer adjacent to where a smart meter is, if you have a smart meter, if you do have a smart meter, it's a great idea to try and get that taken off of your house. But if you can't do that, then putting a home harmonizer up is beneficial. I would even put in shielding. There are specific types of shielding out there. I would put in shielding also if you have a smart meter, because that smart meter pings every 3 seconds. And it comes out to about, in an 8-9 hour day, about 3 minutes a day. And that's quite a bit of a frequency, quite a bit of a dose for a person all day long. And they will go out. I mean, I've seen them go past 10 feet as far as the signal is concerned. So they'll cover a pretty big range in the home, especially if one of those is on the outside of your bedroom. You definitely want to do something about that. Another big place to put it would be in the area of, like, let's say you do have a cell phone tower near you. You want to put it on that wall. Or let's say you have solar panels. Another good place to put it would be adjacent to where those would be. And then also with solar panels, if you're sleeping under the solar panels, pretty directly under, if it's the room right underneath, another good spot to actually investigate on some shielding there.
So solar panels have EMFs then, in other words?
Oh, most definitely. They have quite a bit of bleed off because they're transferring that heat into electricity, and that puts a lot of electromagnetics into the home.
Oh, wow. I got a little excited about your home harmonizer. But so you have a home harmonizer, a body one, and then a cell phone one. The body one and cell phone are pretty much identical, correct?
Actually, the body one does have the shungite in it.
Okay.
And utilizing those fullerenes. The body one is one great way if you don't carry a cell phone a lot, which not many people do. It's an excellent one to have on you at all times because it does help protect against those geopathic zones that we talked about.
So with, you know, my brain just starts wondering, okay, so you've got 12 minerals. Is it 12 minerals and crystals?
Yes, 12 minerals and crystals.
And then there's the scalar, and then was there Schumann's or Schumann's?
The Schumann wave.
Schumann?
Yep, the 7.83 hertz. That's naturally occurring on the Earth between the ionosphere and the magnetics of the Earth. And that we can't live without. And it's easy to actually impregnate that into the materials of our devices. And it's most beneficial because it helps balance out, helps calm the energies of the body down.
So is that the 7.83 hertz? That's what the Earth frequency naturally is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the 7.83 hertz, and then in deeper in the jungle, you're getting up into like a 12.0 hertz.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I mean, where did you even come to put this stuff together? And then how do you, I mean, because you can't even see EMFs, how do you even know that this stuff works?
Yeah, so basically what we did was when we were into the athletics and looking for the human performance enhancement type situation, we really kicked it into high gear when we discovered this with our son. And so we started doing a lot of work and working on interviewing a lot of doctors all over the globe that were already into a lot of this information. So basically what happened is we came across a geophysicist, quite a few geophysicists, and liked what they were doing, and they liked what we were saying, and we got together and we correlated and came up with the devices.
Okay. So in other words, you got together with some really smart scientists that have been in the world for a while.
Right. Okay. Definitely.
So how do you, like, so I have one on my phone, so obviously I'm a little biased, and that's the whole point of why I want to interview you too, mm-hmm. is to just to hit the EMFs, the things that you can't see, and how this could have, obviously, you know, damaging effects to our cells and can hinder us from getting well. But how do I know the Hedron, you know, cell phone device is doing something on my cell phone?
Okay, so what we've done is we did the Corellian photography or gas discharge visualization. We've done many of those studies to see if there's an effective enhancement of the body.
Okay.
And that showed to be beneficial, along with the thermal imaging, along with blood pressure testing. And then we also did heart rate variability. So all of these showed beneficial. With the gas discharge visualization, an example would be we had a subject come in, 27 out of 52 organ systems were in the dangerous range. And we had the person accept a cell phone call. Then 52 out of 52 were all out of range.
Wow.
And then we put our device on the cell phone, and 51 out of the 52 organ systems were all back in range. And this is just one example that I go to, but this has been repeatable. And then the heart rate variability shows significant improvement with the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, along with the heart rate itself.
So I've seen research that you've talked about, and I think it's probably even on your website too, of basically when somebody takes a cell phone call, it creates heat in the brain. And mm-hmm. then when you have the chip on your phone, same call, right? Same situation, but the heat basically doesn't build up in the brain. Is that correct?
Right.
So basically like these 12 minerals and crystals, and I think it's always funny because I think there's such a, you know, specifically kind of in the mainstream medical, you know, thing, anytime you hear the word crystal, it's like, you know, voodoo or hoax or something, but it's these minerals and crystals and scalar and then the 7.83 hertz frequency that in the little chip, put it on the phone, and for whatever reason, that allows the EMFs to harmonize so they don't create friction, and then they basically don't allow the brain to heat up, in other words.
Right, because you zero out that friction that's being caused by the chaos of the signal.
What do you think, and you don't have to answer this depending on as far as regulations, but what do you think, you know, having a cell phone to your head and talking, and then that heat building up, I mean, what things can be linked with that, or what can it be? What could somebody expect as far as symptoms? Because I think about my brother-in-law, and if he's on a phone, and he's got a Hedron now in his phone, but before this, this is what triggered me. He's like, man, I can only be on the phone like 5 minutes before my ear starts hurting, or I have to switch ears. And the first thing I thought about was, well, it's the cell phone, so either take that away or do something about it. And now, you know, he's got a Hedron. He doesn't complain about it, so I'm assuming that's all fixed. But I mean, just it seems so crazy that you can just put a chip on the phone and then that's going to be beneficial to the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it has a lot to do with how those crystals interact and then what type of signal is being tagged onto the electromagnetic signal that's coming in that's helping in zeroing that out. So you're going to have like symptoms like headaches. You're going to have symptoms like even jaw pain, because the EMF will pick up, especially if somebody has dental amalgams, like the silver in the teeth or the mercury in the teeth. That's going to come into play because, like we said with the car is going to concentrate the EMF if you're on your phone inside of a car, or if the car has Wi-Fi because it's a partial cage. Well, if you take a look at the teeth, for instance, and you have the metal in the teeth, that's going to concentrate there, and that's going to affect the health of the teeth. And we all know that the health of the teeth are instrumental in how healthy the organ systems are because they're linked through meridians. So, yeah, when you have a cell phone up by your ear, we all think brain, but we also should think what else does it do around there, with the parotid gland being there. And then there's so many acupuncture points that are in that same area.
Do you think EMFs can increase the exposure of mercury off of an amalgam filling, a tooth filling?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely do.
It would only make sense that would have that effect on it. So, you know, listening to this, I'm sure people are like, you know, oh man, I'm getting, how do I get away from this stuff? I've obviously got to make some changes with EMFs. I mean, what's a good starting point? What do you recommend? Everybody just to put a Hedron chip on their phone, kind of to start with, a home harmonizer?
No, you got to go slow with it because, you know, if you go too fast, it gets to be overwhelming like with anything. So, I mean, you know, keep your distance. Put a timer on your Wi-Fi like you were saying, or hook it to a switch where you can turn it off at night. Get away from the smart meter if you have it on your home, if at all possible. Get away from cell phone towers if you live in the vicinity and you have the option to move farther away from that. But those are more of a drastic mixed in, but disabling the Wi-Fi at night, that's a big deal. And cleaning out your bedroom of the TV and other devices that put off EMF, that's another big deal. And also limiting the amount of light after about 7 o'clock in the evening, limiting the amount of light that you let in through your eyes, because that's another form of electromagnetic radiation. And you just don't want to be under those influences.
Wow. Well, I would recommend put a Hedron chip on your phone because I know people are not going to get rid of those. I mean, they're, you know, technology enables us to do so much. And I think, you know, asking somebody just to get rid of a cell phone is way too hard of a task in this day and age, personally.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I don't see the technology going away anytime soon.
No, no. As California's already approved 6G for cell phone, it seems like it's only going to increase and really be important even in our future and health. So I'd really recommend people to dive into the topic a lot more. Go to your website. You know, you can start off, you know, if you and your spouse have a cell phone, just get a Hedron chip for each one. I think that's just a great starting point. All the tips that you said, I mean, I think that's really the way to go. Even if we can't see or feel it, I think it's important that we start addressing it, because these little things over time or big things that we can't see or feel right away can obviously have a massive impact on our health.
Definitely.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Jared, so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me on the Detox Project. I think just such value and insight into this, you know, often almost elusive topic right now, you know, EMFs.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jay. It's been great. You do great work. Thank you so much for being here today and going through all of this with me.
Absolutely. Well, as you've heard from Dr. Jared, it's important with maintaining and restoring health that we look at the body as a whole holistically. You know, and a couple big takeaways, not even to necessarily get a hedron, but, you know, get a timer on your Wi-Fi or switch it off at night. You know, look at your sleep zone, make sure you're recovering well. You know, consider things like geopathic zones that we just don't hear much about. I mean, there's just so many important things. You know, look to see if you have a smart meter, see if you can get rid of that. You know, some of those things can be such monumental and really moving you forward and restoring your health. So I definitely would recommend to take this life-saving, life-transforming information home with you by clicking on the banner beside or below. Definitely share this with friends and loved ones. You know, share it on Facebook, Twitter. Let them listen to Dr. Jared on EMFs. And don't forget to visit him. His website is Hedron. So Hedron, Hedron, lifesource.com. You will not be disappointed. Maximum blessings. This is Dr. Jay Davidson.